we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud.
Yeah.
This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots. Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm sitting down with Julia Gerlach and Angie Dempsey to hear about what it's been like to homeschool during the pandemic. Welcome, both of you. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having us.
We're excited to be here.
Yeah, so go ahead and just tell me, how did you guys get into homeschooling? Like, prior to COVID, what's the homeschool story for both of you?
So my kids were in a private Catholic school starting in kindergarten, and homeschooling was never something that I considered doing. I went to Catholic school myself. My husband went to Catholic school. So we were like, oh, this is a school my husband went to. Our kids are going to go there. They're going to go all the way through. So it was definitely never on my radar. But then when COVID hit, I had a baby April 2020. So,
oh my goodness.
Trying to do virtual schooling with a newborn was pretty terrible. And when the summer hit and we didn't know whether the schools were going to be open, whether they would be open normally, if it would be half virtual, half in person, we just didn't know. And for the tuition that we were paying, we did not want to deal with any of that. If I'm going to spend that money for my kids to go to school, they need to be in school. And then even if the school, our school that they had been in, it was open all year, but I was still concerned about the fact, you know, what if your kid has a cold? Are they going to make them stay home? My son tends to have a cough like all winter. So I was afraid of the inconsistency of you're stuck home for 2 weeks, now you're in school, now you're home, now you're at school again. So that was the main reason we started out with homeschooling, was just because we could be consistent. I could have control over our schedule. If I'm going to be teaching them at home, I want to be in control of what we're teaching and how we're doing it and be able to set my own rules for our family.
Interesting. Angie, how about you?
My husband and I were always going to homeschool, but every time we brought it up again, I'd get pregnant. So we kept putting it on the back burner. My two boys were in Pensbury, and although it's a great district, there were a few red flags that really just didn't mesh with our morals and values. And so once COVID hit, we did 2 weeks of virtual school, and I scrapped that and just started homeschooling from the get-go. And we thrived. The kids were happy. I was happy, and it just made sense to keep going.
Now, Julia, you'd alluded to, I mean, you said your kids were Catholic school prior to this. Really bizarre thing where up until just recently, Catholic schools were always kind of behind public schools in terms of like getting back to normalcy.
Yes, so it was actually crazy because our school falls within Council Rock School District, and Council Rock was one of the districts who was pretty normal this whole year in terms of being mask optional, getting around the mandate. And so to me, it just blew my mind that parents were continuing to pay the school to keep their kids masked up when they could easily have gone over to public school for free and not had to wear masks. So I don't know. I can't imagine what other parents are thinking. I don't know how they could be okay with that or how they could allow it to go on for as long as they did.
Well, once you, I guess this is a good question for both of you, since it seems like you followed the same track that you basically fell into homeschooling or were pushed over the edge into homeschooling because of COVID. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
So just at a high level, how did it work once you made the decision, okay, we're going to homeschool? There's certain hoops you have to jump through, right? You have to work with your local district. There's something along the lines of an affidavit, and you need to like work with a coordinator or liaison. So what's that process like? Because you're doing that for the first time during COVID, right?
Yeah, it's actually not that bad. Pretty much you send in at the beginning of the year a signed affidavit saying that you intend to homeschool, and that these are the objectives that your kids are going to meet for this year. At the end of the school year, you have to have an evaluator, generally someone who is certified to teach in Pennsylvania. They just have to review your portfolio and sign a letter to the school district saying that you have completed your educational objectives for the year. It's really not anything that big of a deal.
Interesting. So there's no like standardized tests they have to meet, or you're not forced to follow certain curriculum, anything like that?
You don't have to follow any set curriculum. You're completely in control of that. Legally, you are entitled to ask for like textbooks from the school district, and they have to provide them to you. But most homeschoolers don't want anything to do with public school curriculum. So standardized testing, legally, you have to do it certain years. It's third grade, fifth grade, and eighth grade. And there is no opt-out. Like if you were in public school, you can opt out of the PSSAs. But it's really not a big deal. You can do an untimed test online called the CAT test. I actually had to do it last year because my kids were in third grade and fifth grade, but it's not a big deal.
So my belief, maybe I'm wrong, correct me here if I am, most folks who decided to homeschool in 2020 probably did so because they're team reality and they're upset with the fact that schools were like the most mitigated places on planet Earth.
Yeah, I think so. Most of the people seem to be on team reality. Of course, there are some that were the opposite, where they were so afraid that they didn't want to send their kids to school. But I think in my experience, more of those people chose to do virtual options as opposed to traditional homeschooling. I don't know why that is, but that's what I've experienced.
Maybe that's a good question for you guys. Why not all the districts were offering virtual at the time? You could have kept the kids home, avoided the masks and all the other nonsense the same way, but just stuck with virtual. So why cut all the way to homeschooling instead?
So I think when you're a homeschool family, you need to start off with a mission. And so the Dempsey family had a mission statement. And if we're going to do this, this is everything we do must go back to this mission statement. And so public school did not provide anything that fit my mission statement, which was, you know, learning together, building biblical character, learning how to just be a family, and learning through real life. And so meeting each kid on each level wouldn't have been done through virtual school. A couple of my kids are advanced, a couple are behind. So being able to find a curriculum and a learning style that really worked for them.
So it's, I guess, going back to the whole point of like how you got started in it, is it fair to say COVID was the push? But it sounds like you guys are just homeschool people. Like that's it's a philosophy that just fits better with you.
Certainly for my family. I don't think there's any going back now. I didn't understand it before, how you're home with your kids all day. How do you homeschool for 8 hours? And then after a year, I said, wow, how have I not been doing this? It's so easy. And not easy, obviously, there's a lot of labor, but easy in the fact that it's 2-3 hours a day, and then I just get to be with my kids. We get to go do fun, exciting things. We're constantly in social activities. So
let's talk about that then. And by the way, I just want to say, love the whole mission statement thing. The family, that is awesome. Like, maybe we got to go back and think about that in mind. But so, okay, social activities. What's that like throughout COVID? I mean, you guys started homeschooling prior to the 2020-2021 school year. So all of last school year, you were already on it. World's kind of going through some crazy times where, I mean, my recollection is pretty much everything for kids was what was attacked, right? Like libraries. We got to talk about libraries. That was insane what happened. But even, you know, the places where kids would go to field trips normally, or where I would assume homeschool co-ops and groups would organize trips, a lot of it was either just straight shut down or not operating normally, or you had to be fully masked up. Now it's like you got to show vaccine cards to get into a lot of them. What's that been like? Has that been a battle to figure out how to fit the social activities with the curriculum because of the way the world is?
Yeah, last year, the first year homeschooling was very, very hard. We really didn't have anywhere to go. My kids are very active in sports, so we did do the sports that were available. We were in the beginning kind of compromisers on the masks. I would sometimes let my kids wear masks in order to be able to go certain places. So it kind of took a while for me personally before I drew a hard line on that. But we did as much as we could. It was hard. We had a couple of families that we would get together with, and that was pretty much all we had. This second year homeschooling, we made up for it. We pretty much went on every field trip that we had missed out on. We did two co-ops. We did all the activities, all the sports. We pretty much just made everything up in one year that we had missed out over the course of the previous 2 years. So now I feel like things are pretty much normal for our kids. They're able to go places and do things. There are several things that have been hard this year that homeschoolers have pretty much been cut out from. There is no opportunities to go see like live theater or live music or art museums. Those places are still very crazy. And that's something that's a shame because a lot of homeschoolers would like to be able to go see an orchestra or take right. their kids to the Philadelphia Art Museum. Those are educational things that would really be great to experience, but they're still requiring masks or cards to get in. So those things have been a challenge.
And the tough thing is that's a thing that you can't really replace.
Yes.
Like I feel like part of your story, Julia, and certainly with your husband, Joe, the same way, it's like you guys did a lot where you just would make something that wasn't there, right? Joe coached in basketball, and I've told the story on the podcast of like, there was this day when I just looked over and saw suddenly he was running like 70, 80 little kids on the court, just running them. And I was like, oh, thank God this is going to work out because he could do it. He knew what he was doing. Type of person who was like right there at the right time. You put on a father-daughter dance because that wasn't it. And that was like one of the highlights, I think, of Reopen Bucks. And it wasn't necessarily a Reopen Bucks thing, but just part of the community and people having access to something that wasn't being done in anywhere else, the schools or whatever else. You found something and decided, okay, we want to do this. And so you put it on yourself up there at the proper. So in the small instances where, you know, we could make things happen, people did, you did certainly, but I don't know how we're ever going to get back with all those organizations where you can't make a symphony, right?
Yeah.
Or natural arts museums or these types of things on our own. So how about you, Angie? What's
I think the hardest thing for us was the lack of church because churches were closed down. So we did actually, we were lucky enough to find one in Philadelphia that I won't put their name out there to get them in trouble, but they stayed open. So that was huge for us. But the lack of sports, I mean, that just destroyed my kids with three active boys. We had to have something, so we were with the neighborhood kids. It was great. You guys had the basketball, the knack. I mean, that was a lifesaver. My kids looked so forward to that. But not having a library as a homeschool family, I think that was the hardest for my kids. We're just there every week. It's you need books. And it's just a fun, cheap place to go with homeschool kids. And as much as I think it was a blessing our first full homeschool year to not have as many opportunities, we could kind of like figure out what this is going to look like. This year has certainly been better, way more opportunities. However, homeschooling, there's so many social things you can do that you really have to check yourself. Am I too busy right now? I mean, for instance, today I could have gone to three different things. We have to check ourselves. Where are our hearts in this? We cannot be at every single social event. I think with homeschooling, we always think like, oh, they stay in their cages all day. We let them out around two, run around, put them back in their cages. But really, homeschooling is just living life with other people and learning what that looks like.
I want to touch on what you got into there, the libraries. This is like, for me personally, probably my biggest regret in Reopen Bucks that we never really attacked the libraries the way we should. I still to this day don't understand. I mean, they were straight up 2 full years before they were, they're still honestly not fully back to normal. There's a lot of activities they used to do, which they don't now, but at least now you can go in and there's not just access for everybody, but there's, you know, the kids' play spaces and all this stuff. Most places have song and dance story time. Stuff like that is back in place. But I can't even wrap my head around how it went so long. An institution like the library, which is taxpayer funded to a large degree, just with their head in the sand, not offering anything. So how do you guys make up for that in the time that you didn't have access to the library? What's the alternative?
I would use the curbside pickup to get books. And I mean, aside from that, the activities that they used to have, we just had to find them elsewhere. And unfortunately, because the libraries are free, it's a shame because now you're paying to get the same service somewhere else. I found it very funny how something like the Langhorne Little Village remained closed until, what, like last month, I think. Meanwhile, you have private businesses such as Bucks County Children's Museum or Playpad Bucks that essentially are the same thing, and you can pay and use those places, but you can't access the taxpayer-funded places that they kept closed.
Very frustrating. It's someone mentioned on one of the recent episodes, it feels like the default was always, oh, we have to do something. We have to mitigate as much as possible. That was just the default. So obviously an actual business that has profits to consider, they have to get out of that default and back to normal business quicker than a taxpayer-funded entity, which can just kind of sit there and do whatever they want forever. But would you guys say that what the situation with the library, like, massively, I don't want to say damaged, but like, did it set you behind in homeschooling, or was it just fit in activities elsewhere and on you go? You know, do you look back on it as like it was harmful, or you just move on?
For me personally, I don't think so. Even now that things are more normal at the libraries, I don't utilize the story times the way I used to. And part of that is just because when my older kids used to be in school, I could take my toddlers to toddler story time. Now that I have 5 kids, all different ages, at home with me, I don't have time to go to baby and toddler story time because that's in the morning when we're doing our homeschool work. So I feel a little bit bad for my younger kids that they're missing out on some of those things that I used to do with their older siblings. But I just have to try to be intentional and make sure that they're getting opportunities to do things somewhere else. And part of that is they get to do things at our homeschool co-op. So they're not doing story time at the library, but they're having art and alphabet when we're at co-op classes.
Let's get into that. I mean, co-op. So tell me the story about Salt and Light. I want to kind of hear about this from the beginning. Where did this come from?
So I decided to homeschool 2 weeks into virtual school because that wasn't working out so hot.
So this is like March of 2020 when you decided?
Yes. Okay. Yep. You know, kind of put it out there. We're going to homeschool. Did the research. What does this look like? I had already been researching for so many years what homeschool was going to look like for our family. And kind of maybe acquaintances, friends came to me and said, well, we want to do it too. And so the 5 families, we ended up homeschooling together. Now that just meant that we did our own homeschool in the morning, and then every afternoon, with everything shut down, we'd get together at someone's house. So our kids had socialization. We did lemonade stands. We did activities with them. Sometimes it was just us drinking some coffee and the kids doing their own thing. But they did not miss out. I'm getting goosebumps just saying it. They didn't miss out on life because we had 21 kids between the 5 of us. And so they had this all these social opportunities the whole year. Anyway, fast forward, we said, well, we gained so much from being such a close-knit homeschool family, learning from each other, best practices. Why don't we kind of take this out to the community and see if anyone else is interested? We were so lucky to get a building that was big enough to house, you know, anywhere from nursery up to the older kids. And so Salt and Light was born. And if you look in the South, there are so many co-ops that are so successful. So we kind of just picked and chose best practices from there and put together our version.
You've grown a lot, right? So you mentioned it started at 5. It's growing. It sounds like you guys actually have to turn people away.
We have a nice lengthy wait list for next year. So hoping we can start another one to accommodate everyone. But yeah, so for next year, we'll have 28 families, ends up being about 80 kids. And then we do a lot of the specials. So things you don't want to teach your kids alone, like music, like certain electives. PE is a huge one for kids. And just giving them that opportunity to have lunch and recess together. And then learn from other moms, because we all have different teaching styles and they need to learn how to, you know, look adults in the eye and all that kind of stuff.
80 kids. Like, at what point are you a school? You know, that's getting pretty close to you have a school.
Feels like a school this year. And we're even going to be bigger next year. So,
well, let's get into the nuts and bolts of what that looks like then, especially when you have a co-op with more than just your own family. You're working with multiple families. Is there an aspect here of, like, you want to shield your kids from stuff that's happening in public school? You know what I mean? And again, I'm going back to, like, the birth of that is, for me, our oldest is in kindergarten this year. So much of our parenting has been focused throughout COVID on just shielding them from COVID. We don't, if we're listening to the radio and a commercial comes on that's about COVID, we're changing the radio station. Like, it's just trying to shield them because they're young enough that hopefully they don't need to remember all this stupid crap that we did, right? Well, translate that into every other major issue for why people would rather homeschool than be in public school. How much of it is shielding your kids, you know, from what's being taught to everybody else in society on a more normative level versus just deciding we're going to do our thing, we're going to have our brand?
I know for me, we initially chose to put our kids in Catholic school because we wanted to shield them from a lot of the things that are in public school, a lot of the gender stuff, a lot of the critical race stuff. So we thought we were making the right choice having them in private school. Obviously, it's everywhere. It's in your face no matter where you go. So there's only so much that you can shield your kids from being exposed to things. But at least I feel like at home, we can sit down, we can talk about these things as they come up instead of having your kid there at school being exposed to things. And maybe they come home and tell you, or maybe they don't. Maybe they just walk around confused about it and never say anything. So at least I'm more aware of where they're at, what they're seeing on a day-to-day basis, and we can address those issues as they come up.
There's been an interesting outcome in the public school systems out of COVID where Republicans, I hate to, that it's even partisan at all, but Republicans, like, up and down the county have swept things because stuff was so crazy with COVID that people had no other option but to vote Republican for school board. So you have a lot of these districts, like, I'm going to use Central Bucks as an example. You live in Council Rock, right, Julia? So Council Rock, Central Bucks, a bunch of other ones, they've kind of shifted really hard to the right because of COVID in terms of their school board and how their administrators push down policy. So do you look at that and have any feeling like, okay, if the pendulum swings far enough, we'd go back?
I don't know. I think that so much has happened kind of in secret over the years that now that we're trying to play catch up, I think it's going to take a lot of effort to try to get things back to an acceptable level. I think that COVID has made parents open their eyes and see what's really going on in the schools. And unfortunately, I don't think that changing our school boards is going to be enough to get things back where we want them.
It's kind of like the system is just, I mean, that's my feeling for COVID for sure. You have teachers unions. I mean, that's the largest pack in the whole world is teachers unions, but also the administrators, the way that the school boards are instructed to operate. It's like the whole system is just very poisoned and hard to undo. So would you, is it fair to say then a lot of what puts you into homeschooling and what keeps you in homeschooling is just control? The fact that you make it what it is. It's yours to decide. You're not beholden to those types of systems or anything else.
Yeah, I know. For me, we're not planning to go back to school anytime in the near future, but we're still figuring out kind of on a year-to-year basis, because at this point, we would still like to send our kids to private high school. But again, I feel like there are a lot of these hidden things in all the schools. So we have to really sit down and look at what our options are and evaluate whether it'll work for our family or not. But I think for me, what I've really come to love about homeschooling, not just having control over what the kids are learning, but just the family aspect of having all of us together, spending time together, before COVID, my kids, you know, they would get up at 7 a.m. They'd be on that bus at 7:30 and they'd come home around 3 and they'd be exhausted. They'd be hungry. They'd be angry. And then you have to say, okay, now you have to sit down and do your homework. And now you have to eat dinner. And then you're off to soccer practice. And by the time you come home, you got to go to bed. So we felt like we really never got to spend time with our kids. And now we get to spend so much time together as a family, and it gives us a lot more freedom and flexibility. And our kids have more time to just be kids, to actually go outside and play and not be stuck sitting at a desk all day. My one son, he actually was saying to me on multiple occasions, he has said, school is like kid jail. You have to sit there all day and you never get to have any fun. So for our kids, I think they have come to love the experience of being at home, and I don't see us going back.
So something about sitting there, I'm just curious because Kiri and I had always talked about homeschooling as at least an option, if not an assumption, until, you know, COVID hit. And for us, I think the big question was always, well, what about structure and access to social activities and things like that? And I think that there's always been historically, at least for me, this is maybe just my bias, I've always heard the mantra that like homeschoolers have, you know, social issues or they're socially isolated as compared to public school students, whatever. Is that something that you guys have observed? And while you get together with other families and experience co-ops and stuff, and I'm really, I guess, asking from the backdrop of COVID as well, that especially in the time of COVID, you'd think it would exacerbate that situation, that if it is true that homeschoolers, you know, don't get as much structure or social stimulation, a thing like COVID is going to make that much worse. But it seems to me like based on what you guys are describing and how people came together, COVID actually kind of eliminated that to a certain degree, like brought people together. So I don't know, just curious your thoughts on that.
I think a lot of the schools, more so last year than this year, they were so strict on the rules. Classes couldn't mingle with other classes. You had assigned seats at lunch every day. They had recess, but the kids were wearing masks outside on the playground. I mean, I don't feel like the kids who were in school were really being properly socialized anyways. So I think that our kids definitely are managing better than the kids in the schools were.
Yeah, I know, like as a good example, they shut down like labs, like science labs and stuff. Like, how are you supposed to teach high school chemistry if you're not doing labs and stuff? It's crazy.
And if you think about how unnatural it is for a fourth grader to only socialize with fourth graders, whereas in the homeschool community, fourth graders are also a sixth and seventh, and they're also learning how to take care of the four-year-old who just hurt his knee. And that's real life socialization instead of this, no, you have to be with these 10-year-olds the entire day. So I love that homeschooling does offer that all different kinds of socialization.
Interesting. That's a good way to look at it. Never thought of it that way. What would you, maybe we'll end with this. What would you tell folks out there who are, again, like I alluded to early, maybe there's people who are affected by what's going on. There's this ongoing school wars, as I'm calling it. It's like a cultural war within the schools. What would you say to people who are considering homeschooling?
Talk to someone who's done it or in it. The only way I knew so much getting into this is because people had walked alongside me and shown me, like, modeled, what does this look like? And how do I actually functionally do this day to day? How do I stay sane as a mother, as a wife? How can I still be a wife to my husband while homeschooling my kids? So I would say reach out to people who already do it, and they are a wealth of knowledge.
I know for me, I'm very much a list maker. So I sat down and I kind of wrote a list of all the reasons why I wanted to homeschool. We actually debated last year. I had to convince my husband to let us do a second year of homeschooling because last spring, things kind of were looking like they were getting better. He thought that maybe the schools were going to be back to normal, kids not wearing masks. So we sat down and I actually had to like give him a list of reasons not related to COVID. All the other reasons why I wanted to continue homeschooling, because it wasn't just about COVID anymore. It was things like being able to tailor education to each kid where they're at. Things like the family togetherness and not having to come home and do homework at night. All of those things, all those reasons, we kind of sat and talked about all of those things and listed them out and debated whether it was worth continuing homeschooling. And for us, there were enough things that we liked about it that we decided to give it another year and say, you know, well, we'll see next year, like where things are at with COVID and how we feel after another year of it. And that second year really was so much better than the first. And I think anyone who is new to homeschooling needs to know that the first year is going to be hard. It's going to be a challenge because there's so much you don't know, and you have to just try things and realize that what you try may or may not work, and you may have to switch curriculum in the middle of the school year, and that's okay. And it's okay even though you said, oh my gosh, I spent all this money on this, maybe this literature rich curriculum, and I bought a million books, but if that style doesn't work for your kid, well, then you may need to reevaluate. And it doesn't mean that homeschooling was the wrong decision. It just means that you haven't found what works for your family yet. So I think going into it, you just need to be open to trying different things and know that no decision has to be forever. So just because you're deciding to homeschool now, you could put your kids back in school next week if you want to. There's nothing that says you have to do it for a full year. And you can just take the time to evaluate as a family each year whether it works for you or not.
In terms of evaluating it as a family, I was real curious in there when you mentioned the conversations with Joe about, okay, do we continue on doing this? Maybe this is a question for both of you. Society has changed pretty dramatically because of COVID, where now so many people are working from home. So does the dynamic or the calculus on whether or not we should do this change? If you're both working from home or husband's home more, so you have more of that family dynamic with it that you were talking about?
I think that the initial March, April, May 2020, it was a big adjustment, not just for our family, but for all families, to everyone's home, and you're learning how to work from home and have kids at home. And I think, you know, once you get through that initial adjustment, now it just works for us. Joe is part-time in the office, part-time from home. So, you know, when he's here, we continue to do our day-to-day stuff, whether or not he's here. It doesn't really affect our homeschooling. Like, it's nice that he can join us for field trips sometimes, but we're not like, okay, everyone be quiet and sit down at your desk. Like, dad's here now. It's more we just go about our living our life and learning, and the kids do their work, and dad comes down to have lunch with us, and then he goes back up, and sometimes he has to travel for work, and we just have to make things work just like we would before COVID. So I think at this point it doesn't really make a difference to us.
Interesting. Angie?
My husband's always worked from home, so we were lucky that was an adjustment. But I think having your husband home, or whatever that situation looks like, it's so helpful as a homeschooling family, at least in our situation, because if I need a quick break, like I need 10 minutes just to get myself together, he can step in and play Yahtzee or just hang with them. Sometimes he just goes out and shoots baskets with them when he's on lunch break. So I think if you have two working parents, I'm not quite sure what that looks like, but really homeschool, the work part does not take a long time. I was told, you know, an hour per grade, so your first grader shouldn't be doing more than an hour. So, and really, once you get to 3 or 4 hours, that's max. So really, if you are working from home, you can make it work.
It's hard not to get a little nostalgic about it. I mean, thinking about that family dynamic where now people can work from home more, you know, family spending all day together, and being able to have that same social interaction where you have such a large community behind you. It's kind of cool to think about. So, all right. Well, where can folks find out more about your co-op, Angie? So Salt and Light.
Yeah. So unfortunately, we don't have a website right now. We're a private Facebook group, but they could reach out to me through Facebook. I'd be happy to share what we do. I'd be happy to share what it looks like to start homeschooling with an affidavit and objectives. It is not difficult. I'd be happy to just share, you know, what it's looked like for us and what I've learned from other homeschooling families. Because like I said, I haven't been doing this long, but I've learned so much from so many people who have been doing this a long time. So I've kind of soaked up all their knowledge. But I love talking homeschool. I could talk about it all day. So anyone who wants to talk about it, just get ready because I won't shut up.
Awesome. Well, very good. Appreciate it very much. Thanks for coming on and chatting about it, guys.
Thanks for what you do. Thanks.